Bow. Oh, right on time. Right on time. Right on time. Right on time. Bow.
Yeah.
Bow. I forgot you had left the screen real quick before the intro. Yeah, we good.
Ah, okay. That's what's up. Well, hey, man. Yo, what's happening, man? How was your day? How was your life? How was your world? We hope you are well. You know what I'm saying? It is it's a big crazy world out there. And you know, it's a big world of crazy wrestling news. And you know how we do. We might be able to tie all of that into one episode. You just never know. But be that as it may, it is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So it is time. It's really time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am still your podcast intercontinental champion, Camp from the Port.
And I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, FBC_POD, Instagram, FBC.POD. Follow the hashtag FBCPOD. Go ahead and get your merch. I don't have the merch on. Camp got on Cody Rhodes merch, but y'all seen the show and holding the belt. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? Y'all seen the show. Y'all seen this on YouTube. Believe so y'all know where to get the merch and how the merch look and all that. Make sure you follow Barber Chat Digital, home of First Black Champ, and go ahead and get y'all the podcast that we are on and more. So let's just go ahead and get to it. Yesterday, Saturday, was Crown Jewel Saudi Mania 5, for those who are counting. And when we look at the Saudi Mania pay-per-views, you know, we know we going to get something, you know, because they make it happen in Saudi Arabia. But I'm just going to go out and say it right now. This was the best Saudi Mania by far.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It was by far. And and we're going to go ahead and give, well, I'm going to make sure at the end of this podcast, you know, as we get past the recap of Saudi Mania 5 Crown Jewel, we give Logan Paul his short-term flowers and respect. Because, because he's 3 for 3, ladies and gentlemen. Man wrestled 3 times.
Yeah.
And all of them been fired.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that, but we're going to recap Crown Jewel that happened again yesterday in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Capacity crowd. The crowd was lit and everything. And it kicked off with what we believe should have been the main event.
Yeah, man.
With Bobby Lashley going up against Brock Lesnar. Grudge match to kick it off. This match could main event any pay-per-view in the world, but it opened up the show. What was your thoughts on what we seen and how it ended?
All right. Well, the first thing I do want to say, because I think I've not been sharing this, but now we're like at least about a year removed from the first time I think I've had this feeling. I won't lie to y'all, man. Whenever Bobby Lashley, whether he's opening a premium live event or he's the champ, world champ, U.S. champ, no matter what, I won't lie, man. I get emotional, man, when his entrance comes on. I do that because, dog, they treating this man like the Ultimate Warrior. They treating this man like Macho Man Randy Savage. They treating this man like Hulk Hogan. They treating this man like, you know, Sting. Not 90 Sting, blonde hair, face paint Sting. And the kid in me just loves watching it every single time. I feel like now I win, we win, Bobby Lashley wins just because the music hit and we know he ain't about to get squashed. We know it's about to be a competitive event. We know it's about to be something that just represents us, the demo that we are. We're going to be represented right every time Bobby Lashley is on the bill. Yeah. So I can't let another episode go without saying that, right? So with the match, won't lie, thoroughly pleased, especially at the ending. Especially at the ending. Even though we did. I had to do a soft watch, so to speak, because found another wrestling fan at job number three. My new young homie RJ. So shout out to him. I don't know if he's checking out the show right now, but I know we talked briefly about wrestling the show and all that. He was like, "Yo," he was like, "Do the owner got Peacock?" I was like, "Shoot, I got it." Like, they're going to TV right there. So, and even though usually I'm always the ask for permission guy, this time I did ask. I did ask for permission. No, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm usually the ask for forgiveness guy. But this time I asked for permission. Tommy, the owner, salute to him. Let us log in the Peacock so we could kind of watch Crown Jewel. But the money still calls, so I missed a lot, and I had to watch it again this morning. I ain't going to front on you. But saying all that to say, man, the way that match ended, one, I love that the classic grudge match is building. Two, I love the fact that Bobby Lashley is officially a main event player in this entire industry, not just the WWE, but the industry, because you don't put people with Brock Lesnar and let that happen if you not that dude. It ain't happening. Brock Lesnar don't get 1-2-3 kidded. Brock Lesnar don't get Evan Bourne. We seen what he did to Evan Bourne. and the one leg kid, we seen what he did to him. Like, Brock Lesnar is not the dude to get your once in a lifetime moment off of, because he beating your ass.
Yeah.
But the way they set this up, can't wait for Brock Bobby 3. And I officially don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley whooped Brock Lesnar's ass throughout the whole goddamn match.
Let's talk.
Let's let's just throw that out there, man.
Yeah.
This was a situation where I've never seen this before.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't see this with Brock versus Roman. We didn't see this with anybody. Yeah. Let me say this right now. Brock Lesnar got his ass beat in that match.
Yeah, man.
There's no way around it. And he had to win through a finesse.
Yeah. He won like Bret Hart beat Steve Austin.
Right. And right. We wasn't expecting that to happen at all. Like, we wasn't expecting Brock Lesnar to have to win a match due to, let me get the fuck up out of here, finesse. And right. That's simply what happened. And then for him to put him in the Hurt Lock after the match and fuck him up, it made it even more like, wait a minute, hold on. It's not just Brock Lesnar getting his ass beat. It's a black man doing it.
Mm.
Now, I have said on this show that Brock Lesnar wasn't losing to black folks. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was almost like watching that kind of made me feel better about the Kofi Kingston shit.
Because
it's okay. Like, Brock Lesnar got his ass beat the way that he just got his ass beat for the shit with Kofi Kingston, shit for Big E in the Royal Rumble, shit for Shelton Benjamin in the Royal Rumble, and all of the other black people that Brock Lesnar beat. Bobby Lashley paid all of that back, got all of that back in full in that match, ladies and gentlemen. Because again, this wasn't a back and forth, struggle, thrilling. No.
Nah.
Other than the shit at the beginning, Bobby Lashley beat him from what my man Gorilla Monsoon would say, pillar to post.
There we go.
When I saw the way that Brock Lesnar won, it made me feel better. This is how he won. Like, he got to win like this?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. And then Bobby Lashley was like, oh, for Nelson. Like, what? Oh. 5-star match, bucko. This is what this is. This is what we're doing. Brock Lesnar, you getting your ass beat for all of the shit that you did with black, for black, or two black people. in the WWE. And this is for Kofi.
Yeah.
This is for Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
This is for Big E. This is for Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
This is for shit Virgil.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
Right.
Why
this not? Is for Coco Beware. Man, this is for Ice Train. This is for Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
This is for Jacqueline. Cedric Alexander. This is for MVP. This is for Omos. Yeah. This is for any black person that just been in the WWE. Devon. Teddy Long was managing.
Oh, Rodney Mack.
This was for Rodney Mack.
You know what I'm saying? Mack Villas.
Jazz. This is for Crystal Marshall.
Hey.
This is for all of y'all, fam. If you was black, this is for Special Delivery Jones, fam.
Shout out to SD.
Right. Bobby Lashley beat Brock Lesnar up for all of the black people came through the walls of the WWE and was unsuccessful because a white man stopped them in their tracks.
Mm.
He whooped their ass for Bad News Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
And here's the other thing, too, because I don't know. Is he heel? Is he face? He's a face to me.
Hey, right. And I'm glad you said that. Because I love the way he kicked off the match. He was like, you know what? Nah, we not. I don't think y'all been watching the past 20 years.
Man.
It's like, this what I'm on.
Yes.
And Bobby Lashley started beating his ass and performed like a true heel that I was cheering like he was the All-American hero.
Yeah. Like,
and I'm okay with that.
He's the anti-hero that black people needs.
Yeah.
Because a black person's hero is a white person's anti-hero.
Man, believe it.
Because there was white people that was watching that's like, hey, go whoop his ass. Go whoop his ass, Bobby. Get him. They don't have the same reasons as me.
Yeah, nah.
But, hey, man, it was, the whole thing was shocking, fam. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Same.
To say the least.
Same.
So we're going, hey. And
thank
now.
You. Thank you, Bobby.
Right. Thank you. And it remains to be seen if, look at that, Ross, the Black Adam of WWE. God damn it. I ain't seen Black Adam. I know what it's about, but.
Yeah. Very good. Saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about that later because I forgot to ask you about that last week.
Mm.
But I really want to get your thoughts on Black Adam before I take my black kid to go see Contel Pro.
Thank you. And I get it.
But with that being said, nah, man, like, hey, shouts out to Bobby. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see if he's going to be Roman Reigns' next opponent because I don't see who else is going to be wrestling Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. I don't see it. So let's move on to Damage Control versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka, who came in as the champions, but they didn't leave as Damage Control got back the belt. So the question that I have for you was, did it make sense for Damage Control to lose the belts if they were going to get it back so quickly?
No. And that's why I was super confused. But then again, when I was watching Raw, it really didn't even sink in that was the women's tag team title match. Like, it didn't sink in until like it was over. I was like, oh, shit, they won the belts. But then we wait to the end of the week, and they lose them again. And, I mean, since there's no spoiler alerts now, and since now the whole stable ain't got gold, I don't know why they did that. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a good point. The only thing I could think of is, of course, the next pay-per-view is Survivor Series, and War Games will be making its main roster debut, and it's going to be 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So my whole thinking was adding Nikki Cross to the equation now gives you Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and two people to be named later versus Damage Control in general, and a Nikki Cross, which means that reportedly, I saw a report that said it's going to be 5-on-5.
Okay.
And so if they do a men and women's War Games match, then we would be needing to add one more woman over on the damage control side. Mm-hmm. And then Bianca and company would need two more people. And I had threw it out there after Crown Jewel was over. And, you know, the consensus is Becky Lynch would be added to the Bianca side, especially because of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But if it is going to be 5-on-5, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to be the fifth woman on either side.
Yeah. But even with that, though, shit, last week, and not this past week, but the week before, Nikki Cross beat Bayley and Bianca.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I like what they're doing with Nikki Cross. It was like, oh, I don't like nobody. But at the same time, yeah, we got Survivor Series coming up, and y'all got to make this make sense.
Right.
So
I'm with you on that. Next match was Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross. Drew McIntyre escaped the cage in 13 minutes. I was kind of confused. See, here's why I hate the front door of a cage. Mm. You very rarely see somebody escape through the front door.
Yeah.
And then you get a situation like Karrion Kross, who's slowly trying to make his way out the front of the cage, which is the easiest way.
Right.
But then Drew McIntyre hop his big ass up on the cage and gets out first. Mm-hmm. Also, Drew McIntyre, to me, didn't need to win. Mm. So, like, the cage match symbolizes an ending to me.
Yeah.
So, is this the end of this feud? Like, I don't know where we go here. So, I was confused with Drew McIntyre winning it because I also don't see Drew McIntyre, especially after seeing Bobby Lashley, I don't see Drew McIntyre being the person to go up against Roman Reigns at Survivor Series if, now that it's 5-on-5, Roman Reigns is not added into War Games.
Mm. I hope this is over. I didn't even realize this was going to be a cage match until the cage came down, which shows you how much I'm paying attention to it.
Like, oh, shit, it's a cage coming in.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, okay, all right. this doesn't make sense anymore because, as we just even talked about, ladies and gentlemen, just maybe less than 10 minutes ago, we already feel like Brock Bobby should be facing Roman Reigns. We not even taking into the account that both of these dudes is on SmackDown. And realistically, since one of them won, they should get the next shot because you know why? The dude that just won the match got beat by the dude that won the match. So, in a matter of speaking, it would have been better for Karrion Kross to win, because at least like, okay, well, look, December, Roman Reigns got something to do. That made perfect sense to me.
They have something to do for the rest of the year. Like,
yeah.
Because ain't no pay-per-view after Survivor Series, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And it was like, shit, you know, last SmackDown of the year, undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Karrion Kross versus Roman Reigns. That's a good way to end SmackDown for the year. And I'm not saying it can't happen, but now, after Crown Jewel, why? Don't make any sense. I'm also with you. I like cage door escapes to win the match. And there hasn't been many. There's so many scenarios that come into my mind. It's like, damn, I would just love to just email creative. I'm like, yo, the next 4 cage matches, do this. I don't care if it's women. I don't care if it's men. Just do this and let me feel a different way about cage matches. Cage matches have become so predictable,
man,
from the spots to the finishes that I don't care to see them anymore.
Yeah.
They've even cheapened the cage going to break and you going to win because you roll out. They even cheapened that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even though another match counts, this felt like the most pointless one of the night unless you're from Saudi Arabia.
Man, there you go. Moving on to Judgment Day versus the OC. Judgment Day pulled out the win with help from Rhea Ripley. I ain't gonna front. This was a match that I didn't need to see either.
Yeah, this is the true match. That who cares? I'm in the and I hate saying that when you got AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Rhea Ripley out there. And I'll even give Damian Priest his respect. But it's tough to make me care about the match when the most important person in the entire storyline can't be in the match.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in true fashion, what was the highlight of the match?
Her.
When Rhea got involved. When Rhea got involved in this match, it went up. The ending was great. Even the celebrations at the end were great. Like, she just makes all of this work.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to frame it. I don't know what they do from here. But it's almost like she needs to just take Dominic and leave Judgment Day, because I think it's still a story there. And, I mean, hey, they can tell the age-old tale about how good pussy can send a young nigga off. You know what I'm saying? When you're young and naive and inexperienced and you first getting that and you doing whatever she say and leads you astray. Hey, I just got Dominic another. I got Dominic all the way to WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's probably going to real as you get when it comes to that right here on First Black Champ. This is why people love us.
Yes.
Going to the worst match of the night, though. But it was an improvement. Like, the Braun Strowman versus Omos, it definitely wasn't needed, especially if Braun Strowman was going to beat you with his finisher and only land it once, right? But that is the best that I've seen Omos in a match.
It is, and that's what pissed me off.
And being that, similar to Brock Lesnar, the black guys beat the shit out of the white guys all match.
Yeah.
Only to lose. It's just that in this one right here, it was like, damn, fam, and beating your ass this whole time, and you do your finisher once?
Yeah.
And that's it? I just didn't like the way that it ended. And I, of course, didn't have a lot of hope for this match. I said that this was going to be one of the worst matches in the history of the WWE, and I was wrong, but I don't like that ending.
No, to put it real simple and plain, Omos versus Braun Strowman is why when people that don't really watch call wrestling fake, you got to shut up sometimes. You kind of got to shut up, because I'm not saying that 7'3" people can't be beat. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there's other ways to get the W on Omos if that's what you're going to do. If that's what you got to do, it's better ways than doing it than that.
Yeah.
Because they showed Omos a lot more respect with 4 or 5 people half his size. And he still technically won the match. So, and even when he lost, it was like, oh, but you ain't really beat dude though. It was like a count out, or it was he got overzealous and like it's the 5 count or whatever it is. We got 2 returns here, one with a budget, one without. Like, you know, one just showed up with MVP, and the other one is like, oh yeah, it's a budget, I got signed because the indie show I did didn't really do well. But we're going to forget about that, right? We're going to Men in Black that, right? Whatever. However, I wouldn't even matter how the match went. But if that's all it takes to beat Omos, then he should face Dominic and put him over next.
Basically.
Shit. Dominic, what, 6'5", ain't he? Like, just like.
Nah, he ain't 6'5", boy, like 6'1".
Okay, I was about to say, I was like, I forgot his dad is 5'3".
He ain't that big in his daddy. But nah, I feel you on that, and that's why we go ahead and move on to, you know.
Facts.
The Usos versus the Ballin Brutes in a dope ass match. Usos don't miss, man. They are them and they are the ones. They defeated the Brawling Brutes in a dope ass match, a hard hitting match for the title. But moving on to that one, from that one, going straight into Bianca Belair or Bianca Cena versus Bayley, and Bianca Cena winning in the way that she won too. Mm-hmm. Was so Cena-ish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why it's like, and I predicted Bayley to win this. You predicted Bayley to win it too. Mm-hmm. Just off of the strength of one, she has help. The other one does not.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Where was the help? Did is the part of the storyline is Bayley telling them, they stay back, I got this?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting for her not to get help. That was confusing to me.
Yeah, no, we're in the same boat, but you know, I think salute to them for conditioning us to just expect to run into people that got friends and it not happening. So, yeah, man, I really had Bayley winning this. You know what I'm saying? She came out there caked up with the white on, blue stripes. Title would have looked cool to me. But yeah, Bianca Belair pulling the John Cena, man. I can't but that kind of puts the writing on the wall, right? So now, since that happened for me, bang, I'm gonna go on record. I'm not picking Bianca Belair to lose another match till about 2025. All right, that's where I'm at with it. Hey. Because when you win like that, like, hey, remember what Twitter did when John Cena beat, what was it, the Big Show or Brock Lesnar like that? When he got handcuffed, but he was like down on the ground and he couldn't get up in his last man standing match?
Think that was Brock.
Yeah. And everybody was like, yo, this fucking bullshit. Fucking wigger. You know, like all of that. And it's like, hey, sorry, bro.
Wasn't my call, fam.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, look, okay. I was like, now, okay, John Cena can do anything. I'm not ever picking against her.
Yeah, I'm never picking against her either. I don't see, even if she goes against Rhea Ripley, what do you do here? I'm not for sure. But, I mean, at this point, it is what it is. But, I mean, hey, she has a deal, reportedly. Her and Montez Ford will be filming a reality show for Hulu.
Really?
Yeah, so they're going to get their Miz and Maurice on, apparently, which that's why I say 5 years, fam. All we got is 5 years.
Yeah.
WWE like, yeah, we're going to get as much as we can off her because she ain't going to be here that long.
I dig it.
She's not re-signing with us, fam. Do you know the shit she probably is getting offered right now? You know what I'm saying? And to see two black people on the reality show is going to be great, especially those two that we know.
Absolutely.
All right, and then the main event of the night, Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns is still ahead of the table. Roman Reigns is still your tribal chief, and Roman Reigns is, as expected, your undisputed WWE Universal Champion. However, shouts out to Roman Reigns for putting over Logan Paul the way that he did.
Yeah, man.
To the point where I'm just going to do it right now. Mm-hmm. We have to give respect to Logan Paul. I know that people do not want to give Logan Paul his respect and his flowers, one, because of, you know, who he is and, you know, being a social media darling and all these shits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that man, 3 for 3 since he's been in the WWE.
Yeah.
He's 3 for 3. And yes, part of that is with your dance partner. But man, no man, for him to do what he did in that match with Roman Reigns to make himself look credible, especially jumping off the top rope onto the announcer's table with his phone being able to film it.
Yeah, that was hard. That was hard.
Man. What more can you say to that than, damn, if the ACL and MCL tear is true?
Mm.
Man, to me, that's fucked up.
Mm.
My man Brando sent a text message. We was talking. Mm-hmm. And he had mentioned Art Barr. And I was like, I told y'all, fam, this right here is what Art Barr could have been as a singles. And him and Dominic need to get together so we can get all that shit that was supposed to happen. But the death of Art Barr happened mm-hmm. on a main roster somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, man. Logan Paul, man, first best leapfrog in wrestling today. You dig? Let's not.
Leapfrog, frog splash, slingshot, clothesline. I know Adam Hangman Page fans ain't gonna like that.
Yeah, but oh well.
Oh well.
yeah, man. Hey, it's again, you know, for it's funny to have somebody that people don't like in real life at this volume and at this frequency to yep. then come into something and perform so well. Now, granted, I'm going to also be fair here and say that the way that y'all see him on YouTube, I've never seen that, keeping it a bean with you.
Yeah, I have not.
I'm out the demo. I don't know shit about that. A couple of my young boys at the store hit me to really who he was in like 2017. I was like, okay. Like when they were giving me history, when they seen it, they was like, yo, Logan Paul's wrestling? I was like, yeah, you ain't. Okay, I forgot, you don't watch. And then he was like, yo, he did this thing in like Japan or some shit. I'm like, oh, okay. No, nothing about that. The Mayweather shit, look. Again, to me, even this ain't that. I don't, I know that that exhibition was a nice payday for both of them, and Mayweather is about a payday. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he did or didn't knock him out or he lasted, whatever. Who gives a fuck? In the world of professional wrestling, Logan Paul is becoming a fucking monster. That's all, and that's all I'm here to speak on. I don't have shit to do with shit else about how he earned his money or what he manipulated in this way. I don't know nothing about none of that. What I know is he made himself popular enough to land a contract with the WWE. And with that contract, he has not mailed it in. He looks better than a lot of the people that we don't see often. He looks a lot better than some of your indie darlings. And he's doing it with the elite as far as professionalism, tenure, and skill. He's doing it. And you can hop in there and say, oh, I will look like that with Roman Reigns if you want to. I guarantee you, you'd be fucking wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like I say, he's 3 for 3.
Yeah.
He is 3 for 3, fam. And it's surprising.
Yeah.
To a point, because wrestling is different than boxing.
Yeah.
And even sometimes you might come into a situation and thinking you're better than somebody and all of that. It seemed like to me that, you know, he is held true to what is being taught to him by Shawn Michaels and the good folks at the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting into these matches, you know, with Dominic and Ray, with others. And you're just sitting back, you know, The Miz and forgot who else. But The Miz at SummerSlam, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But you just sit there and you're like, damn, for real?
Yeah. Cause,
and you don't want to root for him. That's why it's weird for him being a face. You don't want to root for him.
Yeah.
But when you go back and look at that match, because I looked at it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Roman Reigns was leading the charge. Yeah, he was the person that was leading the charge. But as far as getting the work done, you're right. In 3 matches, Logan Paul might be better than a lot of your favorite people.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, not for nothing. That match with the Mysterios, he wasn't the third worst or best performer, however you want to look at it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, especially if the reports are correct from him. That says that he has a ACL tear and a meniscus tear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ain't going to front. If I got that, I'm not wrestling no more. No, I'm straight. I told all my knee up, fam, and y'all want me to come back for Royal Rumble? No, I'm straight. I'm not doing that, you know. Whether it's 2023, 2024, 2025, nah, look, my whole knee, I got to have surgery on my whole entire knee, fam. I'm
straight. Hey, I feel you, but you know what? Actually, though, check this out, Bang. This actually plays into his world perfectly.
Almost deaf.
You know what I'm saying? He's honestly, when you look at it and you look at what he's supposed to be, this is the perfect downtime story he needs.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I did, yeah, this happened, but it happened against the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, the current longest reigning champion of the last 35 years. Blah, 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 blah. This is my spiel. Now I got to work to get back. And while I'm working to get back, I know if I came that close, I know I could win the Royal Rumble. Yeah. I know I deserve to be at WrestleMania in the singles match. Either one, he can frame it any way he likes, and the crowd will get behind it. whether you fuck with him or not, they'll be like, oh, damn, it did happen. Saudi Arabia, Roman Reigns, like, you know, he didn't take it easy on them, right? Like, it all. Oddly enough, paints a really great picture for his character, which luckily for him is him literally being Logan Paul, the dude from the internet that overperforms when given the opportunity.
Which match was your match of the night?
I'm kind of okay. It's honestly hard not to say Brawling Brutes versus Usos because of the way the match ended. But you can't see again, because Logan Paul overachieved because our bar is so low. But is that his fault, though?
Not at all.
You see?
Not at all.
Look, the Bloodline had the best match. Y'all pick it.
Well, I will pick some opposite.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Bobby and Brock.
Hey, I told you how I felt.
Yeah, the show started. I'm gonna go with that one. Like, just looking at all of the matches and everything and stuff. Like, man, to see those four women, like, when, excuse me, not the four women, excuse me. Brock Lesnar, because I'm going to go to the women too, because they're number two. And I think the women shine. And it's just something about Saudi Arabia, how the women, like, yeah, we got to prove ourselves here.
True.
These motherfuckers don't get it. But Brock and Bobby, I think, solidified a pseudo change of the guard.
Okay.
Because we're so used to Brock Lesnar being so dominant. And the last two times we saw him, he's lost.
Yeah. And lost while being a face, too.
Yeah. So it's one of those situations where did you see a double turn? And because of those reasons, I think the questions make this even a better pick to me because with a lot of these matches, it was some type of finality to it. Do we feel like we're going to see Brock Lesnar tomorrow? Or on Friday? No. I don't think so. Don't think we're going to see him on Raw or SmackDown, ladies and gentlemen, for a while. Probably not until the Royal Rumble. But if that is the case, Bobby Lashley would have ran out the possibly one of the top five greatest wrestlers and champions in WWE, Brock Lesnar.
And that makes it match of the year, all right? I just wanted to be clear. If that's what's happening, Bang, that's match of the year.
Yeah, because I don't expect Brock Lesnar to be seen tomorrow on Raw. I might be wrong, but I don't expect him to address the fans on Raw to call out Bobby Lashley. I don't expect him to do that. He just got his ass beat. Before the ring started, he was getting his ass beat. I think this kind of signifies a changing of the guard, so to speak. But as far as Bobby goes, he's been had the talent to do it. It's just good to see where he's at right now. And it's always good to see some black man beat up Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't a lot of wrestling that went on this week other than, you know, Raw and SmackDown did have stuff, but it led up to what we see here.
Okay.
So I'm going to take this time to double down on Logan Paul and Flowers.
Mm, okay.
It was something that, he's training with Shawn Michaels and a couple of members of the performance team. And it's something about him taking advantage of some of the greatest minds in wrestling to increase his wrestling IQ. And it's good to see that the WWE, Triple H, Stephanie and company are looking at Logan Paul as a celeb we're bringing in. Can we stop saying celeb that he's bringing in and start by knowing and understanding when these celebrities get in these matches, mm-hmm. we don't expect much. And from what I read, they said that they taught him what he needs to do in a match in order for a match to be successful. So there's a lot of baby handing here.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that the Pauls have done that I think no person outside of sports that's getting into sports has done. And that's connected the dots to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball had a World Series, which ended last night. Shouts out to the Houston Astros.
Oh, wow. They won again, huh?
Yeah, they won again. This time, they don't look like they was cheating.
I was like, they said, fuck all that cheese that y'all was talking about. We still better than y'all.
Still better than y'all. But how does it look when we're getting all of this with a celeb who's being taught what to do in the ring, but making it look good, mm-hmm. and he's looking better than some wrestlers inside of the company and outside of the company?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that look? My thought process would it should look good for wrestling to have a star come in and be so good. But damn, I missed it when my celebs was winded in these matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it might sound crazy and I'm saying this, but here's why. If we start to set unrealistic expectations for said wrestler that used to be a star, right? Like, there's no indication that Logan Paul is going to stick around. He's no guarantee he's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to take what he had to do seriously to get to what he got yesterday,
mm-hmm.
man, it's not like Lawrence Taylor wrestling,
right,
where towards the end of the match, you know he didn't have anything left.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like me or you getting arrested.
Right.
and put in some weird-ass situation.
Yeah, I definitely can't do a leapfrog.
I'm going to
take yoga, though. I am going to take it.
You going to take yoga?
Yeah, for sure. I found a hot yoga spot in Hendersonville.
I tried Pilates. That's the closest I'm going to get to yoga.
Ah.
This is a situation where you have a star which people shit on the daily along with his brother and back-to-back weekends defeated the greatest martial arts, MMA person probably ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then went toe-to-toe with Roman Reigns in his ring, and knowing how wrestling is, you have to not look at it like he lost the match, but how did he perform?
Yes. Fact.
And boy, did he perform his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get that 3 out of 3 from anybody else. And if I'm wrong or looking at it, but Bad Bunny was in the Royal Rumble. He did nice.
Mm-hmm.
He did nice with The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect the biggest star in the world to be 3 for 3 in the time, because he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't expect what's my man name? That's the Arrow. That was the Arrow when he, I don't expect that shit from somebody like him.
Right.
But we got to give these boys, Logan Paul, their respect off of the strength of we hate on them for boxing. Now we get a chance to hate on them for wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they look good doing all of this shit.
Yeah.
But you got to just say, fuck it. I'm a watch.
Yeah, no, you should. You definitely should watch. It's still wrestling at the end of the day. I want to bring a few things to everybody's like mind and attention here as we just unpack everything that you're saying, because I think you're right on all fronts with everything that you're saying, right? However, to me, even though I know we live in a different time, these aren't celebrities to me. Jake and Logan Paul are not celebrities to me. What I deem to be a celebrity. These are popular young people with athletic ability. That's what this is to me. Morris Chestnut is a celebrity to me. All right. Bow Wow is a celebrity to me. And shout out to him for taking this pro wrestling route seemingly very seriously. And there's no real PR or anything behind it.
At least on Twitter he is.
Right. Well, he's serious about trying to slang on Jade after his first match. But
hey, man, Brandon Phillips will whoop that boy ass.
You know, hey, Bow Wow apparently think he got it. But whatever, right? So that's the thing, right? First, I don't consider them celebrities. I know the world that we live in, but, and I know you can be a YouTube sensation making six figures a month, doing content creation and all of that. I am totally aware of that. But with all of that still being said, these young men are not celebrities to me until they are, in the camera shots at the Oscars, the Emmys, the Tonys, when they are invited to meet the president of the United States, when they are people that are in blockbuster, $100 million, billion-dollar films like The Rock, they're not celebrities to me.
Right.
However, point two, it's also some young boys from Ohio. How old was Lawrence Taylor when he hopped in that ring with Bam Bam? How old was Walter Payton when he had his, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and of course,
made me like, man, them niggas was in their 30s.
But.
Yeah, we old.
Yeah. Right. And we were kids then.
Yeah.
They were in their 30s and they were post NFL football careers.
Damn.
You get Walter Payton in 85, I think it's a different story. You dig what I'm saying? You get Lawrence Taylor fresh off of Theismann, I think you get a different result. I think that we can't be short-sighted here to not understand that you meeting these young boys in their mid-20s, late-20s, I believe, personal prime of their lives physically, they're fearless, and they want to learn something, because the thing is, they've mastered the attention part.
Yeah.
They've mastered the part of getting views. Now they want to show you what they've learned. It's literally like being at your auntie house and they be like, ooh, do the dance, but they can't wait to do the dance.
Like they it's not like they're being forced to do the dancing.
Yeah, they already outside trying to do the dance. It was like, ooh, they trying to turn the stereo to the song. The dance.
This is not like the kid that's like, come on, Ma, I ain't trying to do the dance. This is D-Lo every time a bop song comes on.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Hit the D-Lo shuffle.
Like, I'm ready to show you I'm the best out here in this shit.
Right. I get busy. You need to watch this. Like,
but you know what?
That's what they're doing.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Not good.
But I'm going to double down on what you just said. And even take it a bit further. Logan Paul lived a life that I think every last one of us who listened to this podcast probably wanted to do. Mm. I remember my cousins and I being in Michigan. Our family had a farm in Michigan. And one of our goals was to have a wrestling ring on the farm so we could learn how to wrestle. Nigga, we are like 10, 11, 12, 13 at this time with this dream. And of course, We didn't get that. And actually, being in a wrestling ring is still at 40 a bucket list item for me.
Mm.
But when you see Logan Paul, I don't think you just see a celebrity who just getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, they wouldn't have boxed. He wouldn't have boxed the Floyd Mayweather.
Man.
Jake wouldn't have boxed a Anderson Silva, even though he's technically not a boxer. He's an MMA person, but that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
These dudes are literally doing the shit that we wanted to do, or we said we wanted to do when we were little growing up. And they're taking it seriously.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at that.
Yeah.
And I know that it's going to be people that hear this on the pod. They see a clip on social media. They look at the YouTube and they say, man, fuck them Logan Paul people. And you know what? That's cool. But at this point right now, you would be hating. Because it's not like they came into wrestling or they came into boxing just to get a check.
Man.
Because you don't do that at the chances of getting your ass knocked out. You don't do that with the chance of some wrestler taking liberties with you and fucking you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do that on the biggest stages. You do that in the indie joint.
Yeah.
You don't do that in front of a million people watching you worldwide and hundreds of thousands inside of an arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be nervous doing that shit at the fucking local
state fair.
Local state fair. You tell me to go wrestle Roman Reigns in the main event in Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably piss on myself. Y'all sure? Me. I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all positive? Like, y'all not gonna hurt me. No, so I give the Paul brothers all the respect in the world. And I think it's time for us to move away from that hating shit and be excited when Logan Paul gets on the card because he's 3 for 3.
Which perfectly segues into my third point. The Paul brothers is making sure everybody eating. To your point. They not taking dives and they not pulling jobs and they not scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Like they getting multi-million dollar nights for both them and their opponents. And then they calling out Dana White. They making, you know what I'm saying? They're historically on record. It's contractually there that they are giving bigger payouts minus pay-per-view buys and all that to guys who didn't even make what they accumulated in the UFC. Or, and I mean, shit, Dominic, I'm sure he got his biggest payday with Logan Paul. You know what I'm saying? And his pops and the Miz, but still with Logan Paul. You can't hate. But it is hating when you don't recognize that, again, these young boys are just trying shit. They're taking it seriously. They can't wait to show you. And they're not stingy. They're not cheap. They're not cutting people under that we know of. And they calling out the OGs that's done it or do it. So this is the moment after a crown jewel, after a match with Anderson Silva, where you be like, who they hurting, fam?
Yeah.
What they do to you?
They fuck your bitch.
But hey, it's more women than men on earth anyway.
Get another one. Like, yeah, you have to get away from that. And the last thing that I have as a takeaway from last night, and I know I've seen people mention it, and I was just like, hey man, Solo Siaka star.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He is a future world champion.
Mm.
I'm going that far.
Okay.
I'm going to use it in rap terms, ladies and gentlemen. And Cam's going to laugh at me where I'm going with this. I'm going to use rap terms here.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently right now Benny Siegel on Rockefeller.
Okay.
To put it in wrestling terms, Roman Reigns is Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman is Dame Dash. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso is Memphis Bleek.
Yeah.
And Jimmy is Memphis Bleek. Yeah. I give them both because they twins.
Yeah.
Solo Siaka is Benny Siegel. He's the get down, the lay down guy. I'm going to beat your ass. He's the enforcer of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have said that if he get it right, Benny Siegel is a star.
Yeah.
If Solo Siaka gets it right, Solo Siaka is a star. I'm not saying that he's going to be bigger than Roman. I will never say that because Roman probably... We probably need to start having a conversation that says that Roman Reigns is on the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers.
Okay.
I think we need to start having that conversation that he is on the Mount Rushmore. Because this right here, what's going on, should not happen in this era
mm-hmm.
of wrestling. Should not happen. He should not have a belt for damn near 3 years.
As a heel.
As a heel, fam. This is not supposed to happen. But when I looked at Roman Reigns and how he looked at Solo Siaka when they was going to the back, I said it in my head. Damn. That's a future world champion right there. I don't know if it's the Batista Triple H shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the Randy Orton Triple H shit. But sometime in the future, we are going to see Roman Reigns versus Solo Siaka for a belt. And it's going to be the passing of the torch. Because as much as we loved Jay, when he was main event Jay, it's just something about Solo Siaka that screams, nah, bro, you be a tag team person. I'm next. I'm the one that y'all should be afraid of. I'm the one that y'all should be paying attention to. I'm not putting the guarantee behind it. But I just get a feeling about the position he puts in when he gets on TV. It's not of a henchman. It's not as a Rudy. It's somebody who, in some cases, feels like he's equal to Roman.
All right, well, best of blessings to Solo Sikoa on his route to stardom. I can't combat any of this. I can only say I don't see it going that far. But much like when he made his debut, I said, man, hey, we'll see what happens here because... You know, they don't just put him with them if they don't have big expectations.
And to keep it a buck, I wasn't even thinking that when he first came in. I was literally thinking, brother, look-alike, help out, member of the team. They've put him in every main spot other than winning the world or tag team or intercontinental. Look, this is what I'll put a guarantee to.
Okay.
If they put him versus Gunther, he's beating Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay, yeah.
It's not going to be a feud.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, oh, he's getting a title shot. Well, he winning tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Now that we can agree on, because I don't care if it's Sheamus or Gunther, Solo's beaten one of them for the Intercontinental Championship. And he's beaten one of them for it, and he's beaten the other one to retain it. That's what's going
to
happen.
And to that point, it just feels like, and I'm not saying 2023. So let me throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying 2024, 2025, it's him. I'm going out on a limb like you went on a limb with Baron and Buddy.
Yeah.
Because, and the other part about it is I don't see Roman Reigns being this full-time in 2024, 2025. He's already part-time right now. Yeah. I don't see him being this much part-time.
And this is year 10 of him on the main roster.
Yeah. Somebody gonna have to take Buddy ass place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about time for Triple H and company to start looking at, I know we good right now,
mm-hmm.
but who are the young cats that we need to mark as, and I hate using this term because of AEW, pillars for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It took Roman nodding to him yesterday. And I want you to, and if you didn't
giving him the lay?
Yeah, like, and he looked at him like, he ain't look at Jay and Jimmy like that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they were on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
His ass. Amen. Thank you. It's subtle shit like that you got to pay attention to in wrestling.
Absolutely.
That's the all shit that details. You look at. Right. That's the small details that you got to look and be like, if there was a pecking order in the bloodline, where would Solo Siaka be and why is it number two?
Mm.
Because I would tell you right now, I don't think he 3, 4, 5.
No.
If there was a pecking order on the bloodline, Solo number two.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Uso number three. Jimmy number four and Jay number five.
Mm.
And if Jay gets ceremoniously kicked out of the bloodline,
mm-hmm.
guess who's doing the super kick first? Solo.
Hey, listen, to your point, Solo is slowly becoming the dude that you better listen to. And you know that by just watching his interaction with Sammy. Sammy's pretty much like, oh, shoot, we brought dude in? Oh, this must be Simba. So let me get good with Simba in case shit go left. that's what it's always looked like. He's like, no, I'll help him out. I'll get with him. I'll show him the ropes. I'll let him know what's going on out here.
Yeah.
And it was almost like at first, you know, Sammy went from thinking he could be the handler to being like, no, I just better be dude right hand. Because, hey, who knows where this could go? So, hey, Sami Zayn feel like you too. Sammy Uso feel just like JR Bang.
Yeah, I hope it comes true. Because I think especially in the era we're in wrestling, like, he's that, it seems like to me, Solo Siaka is that bridge between the new gap, I mean the new squad,
mm-hmm.
and the older, where, hey man, we still out here just to whoop your ass, man.
Yeah.
And I ain't even gonna front. When I first heard him is named as the street champ,
yeah,
I was like, oh man, it's lame as hell. Like, it sounded like some Rudy Hood shit. Now I'm like, oh, you know what? It's not half bad. Mm-hmm. It's better than Rocky Maivia.
Hey, man.
So, all right, man. Is nothing really went on other than this, so we're good. However, we have not did a oral history in a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So next episode, Camp, and actually unless some wild shit happens,
because
mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt ain't wrestled, he just talking.
Yeah, man.
He gonna have to whoop somebody ass soon. And we're building up to War Games, the first War Games on the main roster.
Yeah, man.
And I think since WWE bought WCW, we have been anticipating this match in WWE. I want us to talk about these next couple of episodes, specific war games, not to take up a whole episode.
Okay.
But I want us to talk about some of our, or just take a look back at some of our favorite war games, starting with Wrestle War 1991,
okay,
which took place in Phoenix, Arizona, I believe it was,
okay,
where it was Sting, the Steiner Brothers, and Flying Brian.
Yeah, Flying Brian Pillman.
Right, versus the Four Horsemen, which included Ric Flair, Larry Sabisco, Barry Windham, and Sid Vicious. You indirectly inspired that thought this morning because I saw your post on Twitter when you said, if you don't know nothing about this picture, I don't respect your knowledge. And I was like, yeah, we didn't know oral history in a while. And then along with that, I'm really looking at this war games, and they can't mess this up.
Yeah, that's a fact.
They can't mess this up. So next week, you know, we're going to take part of the first Black Champ episode and talk about Wrestle War 1991, War Games, Match Beyond, the Dudes with Attitudes versus the Four Horsemen with Larry Zbyszko in there. So if you listen to this podcast, make sure you watch it before next week when we record. I want y'all to really and just watch Wrestle War 1991, period.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's the night where Doom breaks up to. And they asked the black boy who was his favorite wrestler. He said Doom. And I think it was Jim Ross was like,
Yeah.
Sucks for you, nigga.
Like, man, yeah. I hope that works out for you, young man.
Right, it works out for you, man. Back to you, Tony. So make sure you watch the whole pay-per-view, but watch that in general because we're going to be talking about that and how for our generation, that was the match that really kicked off the love of war games for us all.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to get into other ones after that, but that's going to be what kicks it off. Yeah. Also, because I'm watching WCW Saturday Night, damn, I got to watch Super Bowl IV. All of it, apparently. Super Bowl IV, I'm trying to because apparently I've never seen the cage match between Vader and Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, watch that.
Yeah, I never watched
it. Watch that. Yeah. You gonna make me watch that again.
Right, because the way you just said it was like, oh, nigga.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing, I don't think that was it. I remember seeing the Nasty Boys versus Cactus Jack and Max Payne in like a Falls Count Anywhere match. But I don't remember two Thunderdome cage matches.
Yeah, man. 94, even though, you know, there's obviously a sweet spot, but 94 is probably one of my favorite years of WCW because it's when I'm piecing everything together. And that is like because Max Payne, Van Hammer, Johnny B. Badd and all them was coming in, but you still had like the Freebirds still had like a last like piece of run, I believe. You still had, you know, obviously Flair, Sting, Luger, like, well, he's on his way back, but a lot of people got their ass beat a lot. And I want, and if I'm not mistaken, Super Brawl 4, I mean, Super Brawl was the one where like just major ass beatings. I think that's the one. Cause when you said Vader, Flair, Cage, I'm like, yeah. Cause I think I was like, yo, this is, I want to say, damn, is that why I really thought Ric Flair was going to die in that match that was on Nitro? I think it's cause of that match.
Cause I mean, this was after Starrcade where, you know, they was in the limo, basically, you know, Mean Gene Oakland was in the limo, basically acting like, you know, Ric Flair was going to die tonight, and he ended up winning.
Yeah.
But I don't remember watching them two in a cage in 1994. Now, also 1994 is the same year of the pay-per-view that I always talk about. It was just a string of pay-per-views that WCW was doing that was just looking nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't remember Super Bowl IV, so I'm gonna watch. Yeah. I'm probably gonna watch that after the Bears game today.
Yeah, no,
just to see and everything.
You just made me watch it again, along with every single War Games match. That's gonna be what I try to squeeze in throughout today and this week. But yeah, no, you definitely want to see that. Talk about being scared of Vader, nigga.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's probably why I didn't watch it. Because I was legit scared of Vader. Like, I was watching him walk up on Ric Flair and watch him beat the shit out of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Like, God damn. Like, it's fucking Vader. Like, that's a... And we're going to talk about that next week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestlers we were legit scared of.
Mm.
And why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so tweet us. Tweet us at fbc.pod. I'm going to put the graphic up on IG, too, and that thing. So we... But, like, wrestlers... who you were legit scared of and why. Because I was legit scared of Vader until Boy Meets World.
Yeah, same. So that means
I was grown.
I was like, damn, Mr. Finney about to get his ass whooped. But
man.
Then, but no, it was different. It went way different.
Yeah, because look, I was looking at this shit like, man. If Vader did one wrong move, man, y'all be really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand that? As Pretty Wonderful comes out. But I digress, man. WrestleWar 91, War Games, the match beyond we talking about, and wrestlers who you were legit scared of.
Mm-hmm.
Along with what happened on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, if it's good. I'm mad that I said it the way
no,
I said
that's,
it.
Those are fair statements to make. I don't.
Right.
Ain't no wrong.
And shouts out, and I'll end my session as this. It's good to know that FBC Pod be right about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Take that as you want it, but just pay attention to FBC.pod,
mm-hmm.
FBC underscore POD, hashtag FBC POD, camp and bang. Because we be telling y'all some real shit.
Facts.
Just read between the lines, and you will learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. So it's real life.
And rest in peace to Aaron Carr.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Aaron Carter, man. Shout out to not selling out Michael Jackson, my brother.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know what I mean? So, man, hey, before we get out of here, I didn't make an official guarantee, and I don't have one this week.
I figured that, because we would have said it already. Like, we dead ass would have said it already.
Yeah. I want to just confirm what my last week one was. And I didn't even know this was going to happen until the Crown Jewel graphic popped up. Usos at 475. As of Saturday, New Day is in a way at 483. I want to say, if I'm doing the math correctly, the New Day has to beat the Usos, or the Usos got to beat the New Day at day 482 to stop them from getting the streak. Because if they make it to next Saturday, I think they have 484 or 483 exactly, and that Sunday would be 484, I think. However, here we are again. Long-form storytelling with some continuity in wrestling. New Day. The stable and label greatest WWE tag team champions of all time. I didn't say it. Michael Cole did.
He did.
All right? And the Usos, who even when we did our personal 50 greatest tag teams in WWE, I still had them in my top 10, and I felt I dropped them too low after I read what I just read to my phone. They're going head-to-head one more time. I would love to see a Big E sighting, but we know how that goes. But we know how that goes.
You talking that shit now.
You dig?
You talking that shit now.
So, I think we win no matter what. because the two guys that I feel, well, the two teams, I'm sorry, not the two guys, the two teams that I feel saved or rejuvenated tag team wrestling for specifically this era should now remain at the top two of everybody's list moving forward. Okay? Yeah, I was there for the Steiners and Hart Foundation too. I'm saying what I'm saying. All right? Right now, where we look at tag team wrestling, which seems really no promoter is ever a fan of, but you can't not put the New Day and the Usos on TV every single week for one reason or another since 2015. We've never seen tag team wrestling represented this long and this strong, no pause, from any two other teams. The Freebirds and Von Erichs wouldn't this long. Soul Patrol versus anybody wasn't this long. Bolsheviks versus Bulldogs was not this long. Hart Foundation versus Rockers was not this long. Steiners versus whoever you want to get wasn't this long. So please understand that Michael Cole didn't undersell this one.
Nah, he didn't.
This is a big night on SmackDown. Because no matter how you slice it, a black team and the Samoan team with black ties will be the top two wrestling tag teams in the WWE and wrestling, period. Watch. Watch it. We up. That's all I got.
Hey, man, you just made that match a very anticipated match, more than it already was.
Hey, listen. They timed it just right. I swear, I think Friday night, the Usos are at 482.
They right there.
So they literally got to beat the New Day to get to 483 and 484, or the New Day will be what? The 13-time tag team champs and damn, still the longest reigning ever? Oh, I'm here for that too.
So history being made regardless.
Regardless. Hey,
damn.
We up. Black wrestling fans, we up. Black wrestlers, we up. Let's go.
Ooh, hey. Hey, man. You promo it.
Right.
You promo it. You know what? I'm going to save that for next week. I'm going to say that to afterwards now. I'm going to say that to next week because I do got a question.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel it needs to wait.
Okay.
So I'm going to wait. That's go ahead and close this out.
That's fair. Well, hey, man, listen. Y'all know how we do this. You know what we about. And we thank you for tuning in over the last 5 years, man. Hey, we thank you for tuning in to this show, this episode. The likes, comments, shares, the streaming numbers on live, the questions, the interaction, the reaction. Innuendo, all of it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for doing so. You know Bang and I could do this show without any of you, right? We know
that. We can.
But we'd rather not, because you all, in your own special way and contribution, make it that much better. And that is why you are appreciated, okay? So please understand that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Champ, bang, we are out. Oh, Johnny Wrestling.
I was waiting for you to say that shit.